Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, here to bring up Season 2, Episode 5, Bob's Bagels of Shit's Creek. Weird order, but you know, it's been a day. I'm here with someone who loves a hypothetical business plan. Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. I can say with complete certainty that I see literally nothing but potential in this podcast. So that's all good, right?
That's what all our reviews say.
Yeah, yes.
Nothing but potential with those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about this episode. Love a Bob episode. I think we got two Bob jogs in this episode. Mm-hmm. None of them had the clap, but that's okay.
We're all on the lookout. This is the thing. This show isn't about Schitt's Creek anymore. It's about Bob and the jog. That's all we're watching for.
The Bob jog. Yeah, before we get too far down the line, don't forget to subscribe. You can find us at Talking Shit everywhere across all social media. You can see us on YouTube, where I just realized I'm wearing the same shirt as last week. So, you know, listen, we all can't be the roses that have a diverse wardrobe. You know what I mean? It's 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Which I will quickly convert to Celsius. It is 32 Thank degrees you. Celsius out.
Too hot.
And I want to die. So yeah. That's why I'm wearing a tank top, okay?
Well, this is why you should pull from the roses and you should wear monochromatic. Like, you just wear black and white. And
so
then
no one would ever know.
No one knows. Like, I have, I mean, I'm like shamed for this quite often, but I have like 20 black t-shirts that are all plain black t-shirts. No one knows if I'm being grubby and wearing the same one day in, day out.
I am known to, like, I have been known to buy the same, if I find something that I like, yoga pants, you know, tank tops, whatever, and I like it, I will buy it in multiple colors. So I'm similar in that I'll buy the same thing multiple times, but usually I like to, like, diversify the color a little bit, you know?
Too much decision making. Just reach, like, grab.
Black and gray.
You get dressed in dark. Perfect.
Doesn't even matter. Everything matches.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about Bob's Bagels. Let's do a quick little recap and then dive right in. Grab a bagel, settle in as we chat about this week's episode of Schitt's Creek. Johnny gives Bob and Roland a hypothetical idea about a hypothetical bagel shop, and they run, or should I say Bob jog, with it, setting up meetings with a bagel oven builder and providing investment money. David accidentally applies for a job at the Blouse Barn because it is described as a quote-unquote upscale high-end boutique. The owner, Wendy, remembers him and needs proof that he could work with customers. So his chauffeur, Stevie, is roped into buying a blouse from David at the store. Moira has another chance to show her maternal side when Alexis is bedridden from a cold. Shockingly, Moira delivers medicine to Alexis, who's already being comforted by Mutt with some chicken soup. Regardless, it's super cute, and we love to see it. And that's our episode. Stuart.
Jessica.
I know this is so funny because I did these notes before I knew you were sick. No, I think I already knew you were sick when I did these notes. But it is kind of like kismet that you ended up with. Did it end up being a cold or a sinus infection?
Yeah.
What ended up?
It was just a cold, yeah. And I was like all bunged up. And yeah. So, of course, the world like died. I was bedridden and nothing else happened in the world. We ignored the elections, the debates, and all the world events that are going on. I was ill. And therefore, the world must have stopped.
Everyone has to pay attention. Yeah.
So I delayed watching this because I was feeling really grubby after last week's podcast. I immediately after recording, I just like went and fell to sleep, and then realized that I hadn't really watched it. So I had like caught up, and when I saw that like Alexis was sick, I was like, probably for the best. Because I think watching someone be sick when you're sick and people making jokes about it, you're like, oh, why am I not that able to make jokes? Oh, no. Why is my life this bad?
I like watching Alexis be sick just because the Dad, can you bring me some juice? The fact that at one point she fell asleep with her head at the end of the bed. It just felt right.
It was one of those, you can tell that she's having one of those like fevery kind of like illnesses where you can never get comfortable. But the moment you do find that brief moment of just like, oh, actually, this is kind of somewhat tolerable, you're like, boom, asleep. And you've like just absolutely lie
where you lay. Until you're woken up by Moira screaming your name to make sure you're still alive. But she won't check in. She won't open the door.
Moira, ahead of the game here, like understanding how airborne viruses transfer and things, like mask up.
Yeah. And not only was Moira very smart about that, but then later when she actually is comforting Alexis, I love how she makes Alexis wear a mask. She's like, no, you cannot be in bed with me without a mask on. Incredible work from Moira.
This did come out pre-COVID, didn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm not being... Yeah, because I've the lost show all ended, sense of time.
No, the show ended during COVID. So that's the easiest way to like remember. Yeah. I loved seeing Moira's maternal side come out a little bit here, because you have to imagine that anytime the kids got sick when they had a ton of money, they probably had like at-home nurses and doctors coming to visit and other people to take care of the kids while Moira flitted off and did whatever she wanted. And now they don't have that. And I think because they don't have that, Moira's like, oh my gosh, we're poor and my child is sick. Does that mean she just dies? Like, what actually happens?
I mean, the reality of capitalism and healthcare overseas.
Luckily, they're in freaking Canada. So, at least they have that going for them. If they were in America, Alexis would have been smacked with like a couple $1,000 bill or something.
Jeez. Yeah. Just for a cold? That's ridiculous.
Oh, no. I'm definitely exaggerating, but still, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Depends on where you go. If you went to, like, an urgent care, do you all have, like, urgent care? Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, okay, we've got accident emergency, yeah.
Well, wait, no. Urgent care isn't the same as, like, an emergency room.
Oh, okay.
So an emergency room is, like, a formal emergency room in a hospital. Urgent care is, like, if you're sick, but you don't want to, but it's, like, oh, I have strep throat, or I have something that I'm like, I probably know what it is. I don't want to pay whatever the doctor is going to cost, and I just want to go and get it over with. I don't want to try to make a doctor's appointment. You just go to urgent care. You see some like generic doctor, nurse, whatever. Like, I've gone for a few different reasons. That's what urgent care is. But sometimes it still ends up being expensive. It doesn't matter. And you're around all these sick people and it's gross. But poor Alexis. I will give credit to Mutt. I don't always do this and don't get used to it. He did bring her chicken soup, which was very kind. I don't know if he made it himself. Does he even have a stove or an oven in the barn?
Must do.
Have we seen one?
I don't think we have. I get the sense that his like living area is kind of like this open plan living area kitchen. And that he doesn't strike me as someone that wouldn't have a stove. Like, I imagine that he's probably got one of those wood-burning ovens that is like constantly going. Maybe
he cooks over an open fire, which makes it even more incredible that he made chicken soup for her.
Maybe. But I mean, it's a very lovely gesture from Mutt. I was like very surprised, because we've been down on Mutt for a while, and last week I was like, I'm gonna give him his flowers when he deserves them. Kind of earned them again this episode as well, because I think without Mutt turning up with the chicken soup, I don't think the maternal instinct from Moira would have really come to the surface, because I think most of it came from an aspect of jealousy almost, and that kind of like made it bubble, and she was like, no, she's my daughter, I must care for her. And
I like that Moira walks in on her eating the chicken soup and she's like, oh, well, I guess this medicine I got you is really for nothing, I'll just throw it away. It is really cute. And I know we've said this before. I really like when they pair up the different characters, right? Like, we don't get a ton of Alexis Moira stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So I like seeing that side of things. You know what I mean? I feel like Moira and David are the two that we would easily put together more often. Yeah. And I like seeing Moira be like, she does care, but she also doesn't want to be in the same room as Alexis.
Yeah. Healthy boundaries. She's established them and she's not going to go over them just because it's her daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love the fact that we've got a little bit of embellishment of their kind of relationship, because what with Moira not knowing her middle name, there was an assumption that, like, maybe Moira didn't get on with Alexis a little bit. And it's nice seeing them actually kind of bond and tell the story at the end, which was started out and you're like, oh God, where's she going with this? But mm-hmm. it turned out to be actually rather sweet. That really kind of like warmed my heart a little bit. I was like, Moira can be lovely when she really wants to.
And she just has to really want to.
Yeah, that's the thing. She doesn't give it away freely. It comes on her terms, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, she's very much like a cat, right? Like, you have to earn her love. She's not mm-hmm. just, she's not a puppy. She's not just going to like immediately warm to you. Like, I feel like Johnny and Alexis are a bit more warm right off the bat. And David and Moira are a bit more like, you have to earn their love.
Mm-hmm. I get the sense that maybe Johnny and Alexis had a bit more of a direct relationship previously, because it would have constantly been money and like turning up and being like, exactly like that. So I think they would probably at least had, he'd have been keeping tabs on her a little bit more, maybe in terms of like what she's up to. Whereas Moira, I think, yeah, the maid would have been dealing with that.
Or I feel like, because Moira's like, I didn't know any of this. I don't do girl talk. I also think that Johnny, I feel like while him and Alexis probably had a bit of a closer relationship, I think there's so much he doesn't know about her because she was mm-hmm. like too afraid to tell him, because he can be protective, as most fathers would be. But yeah, I really liked seeing this. More of Alexis and Moira, please, always.
Yeah, completely. Well, I loved as well, Moira's rehearsing for Jazza Gals.
Yes.
This was such like, it was only like two mentions, I think, at the beginning and then at the end, where she was like, Mum's got to earn her solo, oh, claim it. I was like, so does that mean that she has wormed her way in? Has she earned her way in? Is she just there, like, kind of like a limpet, just like hanging on and being like, no, you must give me the part kind of thing? Or has she ingratiated herself? I really want to see her there. Having mm-hmm. the gals lunch over, like, kind of a meeting up and cackling in the cafe. I want to see what's going on there.
Now we're getting, you know, we're in season two. We're getting more repeats in terms of, like, town activities and town places, right? An example is the Blouse Barn, which we see again this episode. I don't know. Were you expecting to see it again so quickly?
No, I thought the fact that we had seen it after it being what I thought was a throwaway joke in season one, that was a surprise. So to go back and for Wendy to be a recurring character was a delight, because the moment I saw that we were going to blast one, I was like, oh, we're getting receipts for what happened.
Yeah, I love this storyline that David is like, oh, I'm applying to be this brand manager. And for some reason, it you know, probably on purpose, it doesn't say the name of the establishment, just that it's an upscale high-end boutique. And David mm-hmm. shows up expecting it to be an upscale high-end boutique. Of course, it's in Elmdale, so it's not going to be that high-end. And it is the Blouse Barn. And I love the absolute gall to just go into this interview pretending that you didn't look the owner straight in the face and point blank say, your clothes are skanky.
You've got to give him credit, I guess. It's really? Bold. Like, business people like bold moves, don't they? Like, surely it's like, oh, okay, called our establishment skanky, but he's still applying for a job. And I love the fact that actually Wendy tries to get on a high horse. I mean, like, I'm not asking for help. And he's like, I answered an advert in the paper. Like, you clearly are asking for help.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? He doesn't immediately get kicked out of the store or anything. Mm. And I think it's because she is looking for a brand manager. And I think you know, for as bluntly and rudely as David put it, at least he was honest and gave feedback. So you know that he's like, he has a critical eye, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe she respects his fashion choices. I don't know. Maybe she loves the Jared Leto sweater. Not sure. But but
not a
he
fan.
Does, I, you know, I love the trial run that she makes him do. And he's like, Stevie, you have to buy something. And she is mm-hmm. like, but what about my cousin's quinceañera? So loudly. And it's just like this hideous corset sort of style. Mm-hmm. Like, it honestly is very skanky.
It really yeah. is. But I love Stevie's commitment to the bit. Like, she mm-hmm. sees an opportunity to like have shenanigans and she just takes it and runs with it. Like, yeah. she proper shouted that out. And not only like got in the one thing about the like quinceañera, the parole hearing, was it the second part? Like, she loves going for those things. And I think this is why David and Stevie's relationship as friends is really great, because he is the straight man to her, like, funny guy kind of thing. Yeah. And they kind of play off each other. Like, I think that dynamic switches a hell of a lot. But Stevie embarrassing David is so funny to me every time, because he thinks of himself above everyone that they're around, but still does not want Stevie to embarrass him, which is just great for her to expose, like, the hypocrisy there.
Yeah, it's perfect. He does end up securing a job. They celebrate with champagne at the Cafe Tropical. And we have to talk about the raisin in the champagne. Have you ever heard of this?
Never. I want to know it. Is it a Canadian thing?
I don't think it's a Canadian thing, but apparently it is a thing. I don't think necessarily it is. I don't think she did it in the right way, though. So, like, apparently the rumor is, if you take a raisin and you put it in a flat bottle of champagne, so champagne that's lost mm-hmm. its fizz, it will help revitalize the fizz, right? So apparently the raisin's wrinkly surface coaxed the carbon dioxide dissolved in the wine to form bubbles, which made the champagne look effervescent, but the raisin can't actually add carbon dioxide to the wine. So I think this is just a rumor and it doesn't actually do anything. But I think the goal is, like, you would put the raisin in the champagne bottle. I don't think you would put it in the glass. And it's, I love raisins. I know raisins are a controversial food item, especially when involved in baked goods and all of those things. I love raisins. Never would I ever put them in a glass of champagne.
Yeah, it's I want to say I see the logic, because there's like a lot of surface area, what with the kind of craggly kind of texture to a raisin. But this seems like you could throw in anything in a glass of champagne and it's going to like get some bubbles, surely, because you're like disturbing it.
Put a Mento this in is, there. Do you have Mentos?
Is that like Coke and Mentos to get like the big foam yes. explosion things? Yes. Yes, that would work. It might yeah. taste awful, but it would certainly
it
work.
Definitely would.
Stick in a soda stream. Revisit that way. Exactly.
I mean, maybe this is silly. Like, I don't know. I guess I like my champagne to be fizzy, but I don't need to be like extra fizzy. Like, I feel like it's worse to add things to it to make it fizzy than it is to just drink the flat champagne.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing. And I was wondering whether it was a Canadian thing, but then I was thinking, like, Canadian correspondent Melissa, who's been on the pod, who notoriously hates raisins.
Yeah.
Terrible take. Raisins are amazing. I had a raisin
great?
Danish earlier today. It was amazing.
They like cinnamon really raisin combined can be incredible. Oh. Raisin Bran Crunch, one of my favorite cereals. Like,
okay, raisin cookies or chocolate chip cookies. There are two types of people in the world, apparently.
I mean, I do love an oatmeal raisin cookie. I'm trying to think if I are they both homemade.
Let's say yes.
Okay, if they're both homemade and I have the option between an oatmeal raisin cookie and a chocolate chip cookie, I'm most likely taking the oatmeal raisin cookie.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct decision.
I think both, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn down either. But yeah, oatmeal raisin cookies are top tier.
Have you ever had an oatmeal raisin chocolate chip cookie? Because they're really good, too.
No, I haven't.
It's basically like
that seems like two worlds meeting that shouldn't.
No, no, no. It's great. It's great. You got to try it.
Okay. Seems like, I mean, I would appreciate any baked thing that can be dunked in tea. And therefore, I love Omo Raisin Cookies because they're good vessels. Okay. Get on our level here.
I think you're supposed to. Okay. Isn't the point, though, if you're dunking a cookie in anything, is the point not to soften it?
Yeah, so tea is the best for it because it warms it up. So you can get like...
I don't want a cookie that's not already soft. I don't want a crunchy cookie.
Here's the thing, yeah, because you don't have a real appreciation for like biscuits.
No, our biscuits are not your biscuits. Yeah, we have proper soft cookies here.
Yeah.
The only cookies I'm dunking in anything is like an Oreo and milk, but I'll never really understand biscotti. Seems kind of pointless to me. It's just like a hard log. I don't understand.
Italians gonna riot.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm a dumb American. Okay. I don't know anything. I just know that I like soft cookies.
So wait, you've not had a hobnob then?
What did you call me?
A hobnob.
A hobnob?
A hobnob.
I don't know what a hobnob.
It's like an OT. It's like an OT biscuit. Like
it's also apparently a luxury brand. Okay.
What?
Biscuit. I don't know. But yeah. Hobnob is like a phrase, isn't it? Isn't it like, oh, you're hobnobbing with people? Like I think you're like sucking up to people is like hobnobbing, isn't it?
I mean, our language, we use words for multiple things.
Well, yeah, you said bunged up or something earlier, which
bunged up.
Bunged
do you not
up.
Get bung? Do you not say bunged up when you're feeling ill?
We say we're stuffy or congested is like the words I would use. If my nose was clogged, I would say stuffy or congested.
I'm stuffy.
I'm bunged up. Ugh.
Bunged up because you can say it when you are bunged up and it sounds it. It's like I'm bunged up. Like
oh yeah, you're like, I'm bunged up.
Exactly. You can't just go. I have congestion. Like, that's just boring. Well, like, boring.
Digestion sounds terrible, yeah.
Terrible. No, it's not as fun. Bunged up.
No, so we don't have hobnobs. But are they... Okay, so they look... Maybe they're not, though. They kind of look similar to... what are those cookies that you put on top of your, like, coffee or tea? It's like a German thing. Stroopwafels.
Netherlands, but yes.
Sorry.
More of a... Yeah, Stroopwafels more of, like, a wafer. Oh, God, I really want a stroopwafel now.
I love stroopwafels.
Yeah. Like, so big good. Mug of tea. Like, big mug of tea. Stick it over. Let it warm up. Get gooey. Yeah. And then you break it apart.
Yeah.
And you get the toffee pull. Like a cheese pull, but with toffee. Oh,
yeah. God. Except swap the tea for coffee and I'm in. Yeah.
Why would you ruin everything?
That's the story of my life. All right. We're on the topic of food anyway. Let's talk bagels. I love this entire situation of Johnny is giving them a hypothetical idea because they're making fun of him, basically saying you're not doing anything. You're just sitting at a desk all day. And he said, well, theoretically, we could use a bagel shop. Johnny used to eat a bagel every single day at his office. That's a lot of bagels. Like, I love a bagel, but a daily bagel?
Well, this is a thing, because he would have been, like, in the city and stuff. And so it would be, like, I imagine, like, a big bagel. Like, not one of the ones that you, like, toast up at home that you can buy in packs and things like that. It'd be one from, like, a bagel place or a deli or something. So it'd be, like, hefty, I imagine. And also, I've seen the amount of cream cheese that North Americans put on their bagels. Oh, boy, it's so much. Like, okay. Would you like some bagel with your cream cheese? It's
okay.
Wild.
Listen, half the like reason to get a bagel is as a vessel for the cream cheese. Obviously, it depends on where you live. As a New Yorker, I do live upstate, but as someone who lives in the state of New York, I can confirm downstate bagels, literally the best bagels that exist. Every time I take a trip downstate for whatever reason, I will always bring home at least a dozen bagels and like freeze the leftovers. They're so good. My husband loves like an egg everything bagel. I do like an everything bagel, but I like most types of bagels. They're incredible. Cream cheese is just the next layer. Like, cause you can get plain veggie. I love the fruity ones. Sometimes if you want to get like a cinnamon sugar bagel with like strawberry cream cheese, Or you could get like
just get a donut if you want something that's sweet and with a hole in it. Just get a donut.
It's practically the same thing. Do you have do you do like bacon, egg, and cheeses over there?
Bacon, egg, probably not with cheese, but yeah.
What? Where's the egg cheese?
I'm not a fan of egg and cheese. It's so probably me being the weird one here, but egg and
you
cheese.
Don't add
no.
cheese. What?
No.
Omelets? I'm so confused right now.
I'm sure people do. I'm not a fan, but yeah, we have like bagel culture isn't like a huge thing over here though. Weirdly though, I did live down the road from two of the supposed oldest bagel shops that were in London that were literally there like next door or like
a shop away from each other. They have a rivalry
and competitors, and they've like so they've been open for ages, and over like the last like spring, one of them just randomly shut, and they're open 24/7 and they've never shut in like decades, and there was all this controversy about what was going on. Turns out it was a family rift that was going on. No one knew who actually technically owned it, because it's one of those like old school family businesses.
No.
Yeah, bagel drama here in London. But other than those two spots and probably some others, some London foodies are probably going to like jump on me for being totally wrong here, but we don't have a huge bagel kind of culture as like kind of New Yorkers do, of course. But so that with that, we don't really have them in loads of different cafes and things. So we don't, yeah. There's not a great variety, but salmon bagels. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Like, the bagel is salmon flavored or there's salmon on a bagel?
There's salmon on a bagel with the cream cheese.
Okay, so lox.
Lox,
you don't
yeah.
call them lox. Okay. Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know that I've ever had lox. I know it's a thing. I'm not a big fish person. And like first thing in the morning, I'm not like, I could go for some fish, you know?
Terrible behavior.
I say this to a bagels. British person.
Oh, so good.
So Johnny brings up this bagel idea, and immediately Bob and Roland are all in on this. Bob mm-hmm. goes to the, like, he gets a man who is going to build a bagel oven and like quit his job to do this. Unhinged, unheard of behavior. He also, people love writing Johnny checks. Seriously. He writes him a check right away, bing, bang, boom, and Johnny looks at it, like tucks it away. Do we think it was $2,000? Because he did say like he set up Rose Video with $2,000 in a dream.
I did wonder, because I was thinking, okay, he would have set up like Rose Video in like maybe the late 70s, early 80s. So we've right. got to adjust for inflation. But then I'm also considering the Schitt's Creek of it all. I wonder if inflation has actually affected Schitt's Creek at all. So maybe 2000 is still the going rate. But Johnny yeah. turns it down, but then looks at it and looks surprised. Like he's almost like he kind of does the big eyes kind of react. So I imagine like it's $2,000 or more, surely. It's money yeah. that Johnny can't turn down.
Certainly. And that's the thing. So I'm like, okay, did he cash it though? Because I feel like if you cash it, then you're kind of like, okay, we're going through with the bagel plan. And I love, this is all a hypothetical situation. Like there's no location. They're not mm-hmm. doing anything yet. It also feels like it would be competition with Cafe Tropical, which
potentially,
you don't want to upset.
But I mean, is Cafe Tropical going to stick around if Twyla's putting raisins in the champagne? Not too sure.
You know, she does that all the time. Like, you know why? You know why the champagne is flat? The last time people ordered two glasses of champagne was like 3 weeks ago. And that bottle's just been open the whole time.
Well, this is the thing she talks about when she gets it. She goes, you're going to love it. It's the same one we used to celebrate my mom's divorces. And the way she said it and the way that it came out flat made me think that it's the same bottle that has been used for all of the divorces, and they just yeah. bring it back out every time for like a new glass. Ugh. So maybe it is. Maybe it is
you
this
can
like
get such cheap champagne. Like you don't need to get like you could buy like $8 champagne. You know, like there is.
Is it champagne though?
I think so. It gets you drunk like champagne. So I guess it is. But yeah, I love the storyline. We get more Bob jogging. It makes me so happy. I love how cringy and awkward Bob is at times when he says, oh, to be a fly on the wall of this conversation. And Johnny's like, you're sitting right there.
Yeah, you're in the room. I thought the way in which Bob and Roland getting on, like laughing up a riot, and then when Johnny comes in and kind of disrupts that dynamic was really so awkward, because I think like we've all been there where someone's like in the space and you need to sit down or something. You're like, can you just move? And you don't want to be rude about it, but you've got to be like, but I do need to like sit there to like shift. And then Roland almost bullies Johnny in a way, like really kind of goes in quite hard. Taking the piss out of him, really. And so Johnny quite rightly is affronted, but I don't know why Johnny is really dismissive about the idea that they've all come up with together. I think it's actually, despite the fact that it might be a bit of competition with Cafe Tropical, it doesn't have to be a thriving, huge empire. It can just be a nice little, quaint little bagel shop.
I do wonder if it factors in that, like, restaurants / like eateries are like some of the hardest things to get off the ground and be successful with, you know, like most of them, what is it, the statistic of like most close within the first year. It could be something like that. It could be as easy as like it's Roland and Bob and like Johnny's like, I don't know about these two, right? It could be as simple as that. I will say in this scene where they all are in Bob's garage, I don't know why this cracked me up so much, but it did. When Roland is like, oh, do you want to see a card trick? And Bob's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, okay, I gotta find a deck of cards. Like, you only ever say, do you want to see a card trick if you have cards on you, Roland.
Yeah, Roland is top tier being like an absolute shithouse here. Like, just complete, like, he knows that Johnny wants to sit down and do some work. And I say that with air quotes. But he just wants to troll almost and waste time and just dick around. And he seems to be king of that because he has no shame. Yeah, the whole the card thing is just, it's the so worst. Ridiculous. This is the worst because Roland has been on an upward trajectory. And this episode kind of brings him back to where he was before, where he can just be a real dick sometimes.
He really can. I love how he gets offended when he thinks that Johnny has continued on with the hypothetical bagel store without him. Bob's Bagels, which also would be a great name for a bagel shop. I'm just saying.
It really would. It really would. It kind of like rolls off the tongue really well. But I love the fact that also he's offended when Bob cuts him the check. And he's like, you didn't ask me for money. He's like, would you give it? And he goes, well, no, but you didn't ask me. He's like...
He just wants to be asked. He wants the gesture.
Oh, he just wants every gesture. Like, he can get every gesture he can have off this episode.
All right, let's get into some feedback. We did hear from Trish. She says, I can understand a bit of the light teasing of Johnny by Roland, and he's playing it up a bit more in front of Bob. But saying stupid baby, I think, is a step too far. I agree with Trish that I think the reason he's doing it is because he has an audience of Bob.
Yeah, it's definitely that showing off for your friend that, like, that when you don't, when they're not normally around, and your parents like, you're going to pay for that later.
Yeah. Trish continues, Moira switched from locking the door so she doesn't catch Alexis's cold to missing her rehearsal, buying cold medicine, and sharing her bed is more growth. I loved this from Moira. It is very sweet. And I love the continuity of always locking the door that joins the two rooms. It's really funny, especially because she's just like, it could be, what does she say? It could be not typhoid, tuberculosis. What's the thing?
I think it was typhoid. Yeah.
Was it typhoid? Yeah.
Yeah.
Alexis says, it's not typhoid.
I can still hear you.
But these walls are like very thin right now.
Exactly. But I love the fact that when, like, maybe it's habit that she's locking it, but I like to think that maybe she's locking it to kind of prevent the diseases from getting through.
Yeah.
Like, as if it's just an extra layer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a little protection. Chain lock is going to stop it.
I'm a little surprised David didn't know that the job was at the Skanky Blouse Bar. And I agree, it is weird that the name, I mean, he wouldn't recognize the address if he wasn't driving.
Yeah.
Stevie's being a great friend here, still manages to keep David on his toes. I think this is another solid episode with lots happening. Yeah, we'll see where it falls on our rankings. But first, we have to give out some points here. Stuart, who is simply the best this episode?
Couple of candidates, and Mutt was one of them. I'm not going to lie. Dude turns up when his girlfriend is sick, brings her soup, spends time with her, doesn't kind of have that standoffish reaction, which is in a post-COVID world bad, but in a kind of pre-COVID world is sweet. But who knows why he's doing it? I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give it to Moira this week. I think Moira showed a lot of growth. She was very sweet towards the end and still very funny with it.
Yeah. I almost gave my point to Moira, but like, I saw this as an opportunity to diversify a little bit. I feel like I give Moira a lot of points a lot of the time. And I'm going to give my money to someone who is very supportive and very willing to invest time and energy and money into something that a friend's endeavor. And I'm going to give my point to Bob. Because
you
I feel like
not.
He was... Yes, I am. He was so quick to be like, here's 2K. Let's go all in on this business idea. And like, I'm sorry. That is a huge leap to make, to be like handing over 2 grand to some dude to start a bagel company. And I just appreciated that from Bob. Plus, he jogged twice.
So we'll just skip over the fact that he's uncomfortable saying Jewish. We'll just
skip over that. Do that in this episode.
That was, for me, we didn't haven't addressed it until now, but I was cringing.
You're right. It was so cringy. I didn't even put it in my recap because I was so uncomfortable that entire scene. Okay, Bob, we were so close. Maybe next time Moira gets the point instead. I totally forgot about that. And now I'm sad because I really wanted to give Bob the point. Oh, Bob, why'd you have to do that, man? Why'd you have to do that?
Trust the audience. The audience is the audience are telling us that Bob is problematic, and I'm here to agree with that.
All right. Disgruntled Pelican point. Are you giving the point to Bob for the comment about being Jewish?
Oh, I wish I could give it to multiple people because I would give it to Bob and Roland at the same time. Bob does, I don't want to like tally up like bad things they've done and good things as if like good things kind of outweigh it and stuff. But I'm going to give it to Roland because he has been on an upward trajectory, and this feels like a massive step backwards, whereas Bob is just exposing stuff that we haven't seen with Bob just yet. That's why I'll give it to Roland.
Yeah.
If I get you to say Bob here and you've done a complete 180, I'm going to be so happy with myself.
I don't know what to do.
Follow your heart.
I'll give it to Bob. Bob doesn't even deserve it this episode. I can't in good conscience do that. No, it should be Bob. He did a bad thing. And you already penalized Roland for his behavior. So I guess I'll penalize Bob, even though he did jog twice and it made me so happy. I really can't explain why the Bob jog makes me as happy as it does. But every time I see him do it, if I would look in a mirror, I know I'm smiling. I guess you could tell you're smiling without looking in the mirror. It's been a hard day, okay?
I love it. Just you're right. You're going, oh, I need to find a mirror. I don't know if I'm enjoying myself. So dumb.
That's so stupid. Anyway, those are the points. I'm sad. Okay, well, unfortunately, we don't have a fun Moira wig this week. No wig watch, which brings us to the rankings. We have our hot shit category, which has Finding David in estate sale, Full Bouquet has Family Dinner, and Love That Journey for Me has Jazza Gals. So, Bob's Bagels. Stuart, what do you think about this one? I feel like, I'm trying to think, the Blouse Barn storyline is fun. The Alexis is sick storyline is like very cute and endearing with the Moira and Alexis stuff. And I really enjoy the Bob's Bagel storyline. I feel like I enjoy it less remembering the Bob and not being able to say the word Jewish situation. But I still think it's a pretty fun storyline. Where are your vibes on this one?
Yeah, not a bad episode at all. Actually, quite a good one. Not the laugh riot that we've had from previous ones. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of leaning lower end of Full Bouquet, maybe. Maybe top end of Love That Journey for me. What about you?
I'm leaning in the same direction. I think I really do enjoy it. And I really like, I think the Alexis and and Moira stuff pulls it up for me because it is growth for her character and it's adorable. And when someone is sick, it is kind of always a little bit of a silly storyline. And I think that Annie Murphy does a really good job at playing a sick person.
Yeah.
She's like so excellent at it. She's like, my throat's all scratchy.
Yeah. I think we could give Annie Murphy more flowers. Like, she's been killing it this season. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been really hot on her for, like, the whole physical comedy that she did with, like, the bike and then the whole kind of the way in which she was saying, like, we slept together in, like, yeah, the first episode. But I think, like, with this, she's really showing a kind of breadth of how she can bring comedy to this role. Yeah. Annie Murphy's freaking amazing.
All right. I'm thinking I'm going to put I think lower end of Flow Bouquet feels right.
I think that's right. One. Yeah.
Okay. So let's leave that there. We're looking at a fairly balanced tier ranking right now.
It's looking more balanced than when we potentially had three in hot shit before we readjusted some things. And I was worried about where we were going to go.
Yeah. Listen, we like what we like. Okay.
Yeah. So don't hate us for liking stuff.
Yeah. Stop being haters. we say to literally no one who thinks that.
Yeah. Okay,
this is where we stand. That's our updated episode ranking. And that was our episode. Stuart, do you want to know what next episode is titled?
I do.
Okay, you're going to like this one. It is Moira versus Town Council.
Oh. Is this... like, she going up against policy or something? Like, she running? No, she can't. If it's versus, can't be, like, running for anything. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Some disagreement somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna go to court? Are we going to see court outfits from Moira?
Court outfits? I feel like if you had watched Parks and Recreation, you'd have much more of an appreciation for a town council.
Maybe. I mean, it probably is the case. I couldn't really comment. I haven't seen it.
I don't understand why you haven't watched.
I feel like I have in like GIF and clip form. No. Like I've referenced it in this episode.
The okay, whole money, but you've please. Just seen the GIF a bunch. That's it. That's what all. That's all the thing that you've seen.
No, I'm a secret fan. Just don't be suspicious.
Do you know 5,000 candles in the... Stop trying to make the references. Do you know what 5,000 candles in the wind is?
No idea.
See? Do you know the amazingness of a miniature horse?
I know miniature horses are great, but I don't know what relevance that is.
Exactly. We need to start a petition for Stuart to watch Parks and Recreation. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, that's all for this week. Until next week, we have season 2, episode 6, Moira versus the Town Council coming up. I'm really excited for that. You know where to find us. It's always the same spots. If you want to send us an email, please do. We love getting email feedback. Also, we got a few YouTube comments and it made us so happy. So continue doing that too. It's really lovely to engage with literally anybody who listens to anything, because otherwise we're pretty much just talking like to each other, but also into a void. So, you know,
it always reassures us that we aren't just like doing this just to like talking to a boy. But yeah, no, we really do appreciate anything. And also any reviews as well. Having those reviews really does help with like the album.
We'll read a review on here. We'll take a page out of Crying Laughing. If you listen to the Crying Laughing podcast, first of all, you should if you're not, because I love Ariel and Amanda so much. But we're going to take a page out of their book. And if you give us a 5-star review, I'll read it on air no matter what it says. That feels like I'm asking for trouble.
Watch me submit a 5-star review just with a glowing reference for myself.
Stuart is so great. Just Stuart.
He's so knowledgeable about Parks and Rec.
Who's that dumb American he talks to? Who doesn't like biscuits? Anyway, we'll be back next week with season 2, episode 6. Until then, warmest wishes.
And best regards?
Wait, is it warmest regards? How are we 2 seasons in and I still can't get it? Okay, let me try it again. I'm leaving all this in. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.